The stress of the war in Iraq falls especially hard on members of the National Guard. Military analysts say the Guard's training and equipment are inadequate for the challenges of Afghanistan and Iraq. Yet thousands of Guard members have been sent to those two countries. NPR's John McChesney has been visiting National Guard training facilities and talking with troops about their experiences.
Camp Shelby lies deep in the green, piney woods of southern Mississippi. It's one of the nation's largest training bases for the Army National Guard. Roughly 4,000 troops from 8 different states are training here now. On this day, two Humvees with turret-mounted machine guns chug cautiously up a red dirt road into a mock Iraqi village where a pumped-up crowd of actors is chanting angry slogans. Following on foot are about 30 infantrymen, some with gray hair, some with sagging middles. Nearly 40% of the guard is over 35 years old. The village consists of several mud-colored cargo containers with window cutouts, one topped with a fake minaret. The mission is to take prisoner two men known to be supporting the insurgents. Staff Sergeant Chris Clark, 6'4", shaved head, talks with the village mayor through an interpreter.
Sir, we're here today because we know there's known terrorists operating out of here, at least two that we count.
He says welcome, he has to. He wanna get rid of it.
Will you tell me where they are, sir?
Suddenly, a grenade explodes and chaos follows. The guardsmen crouch behind buildings, trying to find the source of AK-47 sniper fire coming from windows.
Smoke into the crowd! Smoke into the crowd! Move, move, move. 203's into the mosque!
An entire squad is taken out by blanks fired by one of the snipers. They know they're dead because their laser sensors are beeping. Finally, someone launches a couple of grenades, 203s, into the faux mosque, and the firefight is over. When we asked Sergeant Clark what he thought of the training exercise, he gave us a diplomatic answer.
I was given a good general rule of thumb from a lieutenant colonel that I think an awful lot about. I used to work for him at the 2nd Brigade headquarters, and it was no matter what training event you go to, no matter how bad you think that training event is, I guarantee you there's something you can bring out of there of value. And I haven't seen a training event here that is necessarily that bad where I had to look for something to bring out of it.
Guard units at several bases have been less polite about the quality of training they receive before setting off for Iraq. Their criticisms have appeared on the internet and in newspaper reports. The Guard only trains one weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer when it's at home. Critics say adding only a 90-day mobilization training is not enough to prepare the troops for what could be 2 years of deployment in Iraq. But Colonel Daniel Zajac, who's in charge of training at Camp Shelby, insists the Army has corrected many of its earlier shortcomings and has changed its training as the war in Iraq has changed.
In my 23 and a half years in the Army, I have never seen units receive as intense and focused a train-up prior to a deployment as our Guard and Reserve soldiers now get. Never.
Zajac is proud of the training he and the Army call theater immersion, the kind we saw at that mock Iraqi village. His conference room is lined with huge maps of Iraq, spotted with colored markers.
We use these maps, and my intelligence officers track the daily number of IED, mortar rounds, sniper attacks, vehicle accidents, and the type of operations our folks are doing so we can replicate that environment.
But Zajac has only 200 combat veterans amongst his trainers, and not all of them have been in Iraq. One seasoned first lieutenant who didn't want to be identified told us that his instructors in the urban operations training phase were inexperienced and just plain wrong about some of their techniques. And some soldiers said there were not enough trainers in key skills, like shooting.
Lock the load, lock the load. Commence fire, commence fire.
You got earplugs?
I got them.
Don't need them.
This is the firing range for the basic weapon of an infantryman, the rifle, in this case, the M16. Human torso targets pop up randomly behind piles of dirt along a 300-yard long range, and soldiers hunkered down in foxholes try to pick them off quickly before they disappear. For some wannabe marksmen, bullets are kicking up dirt all around the targets, sometimes off by yards. Clearly, work needs to be done.
In the National Guard, you could go months and months without ever firing your personally assigned weapon.
First Lieutenant Paul Rykoff is the head of Operation Truth, an organization of veterans of the Iraq War. They're critical of the military, but not of the war itself. Rykoff has been in Iraq, is still in the New York Guard, and expects to be deployed again.
I've been in the National Guard since 1998, and I can't ever remember having enough ammunition for a training exercise. We always had to beg, borrow, and steal to get ammunition.
Apparently, there are no ammunition shortages at Camp Shelby, and the soldiers who did talk on the record, usually in the presence of public affairs officers, were generally complimentary about the quality of training here. Sergeant Charles Boyce from Hamburg, Pennsylvania, has been here a month and just finished firing on the range.
My experience here has been, it's been a good one. It's good training. Everybody's focused. Everybody's motivated. As far as the equipment, it may be older equipment, but we're trained to adapt and overcome.
One explanation for the varying levels of satisfaction amongst the Guard trainees is that the Army has no common standards for mobilization training. Training quality differs from camp to camp. In addition, Paul Rykoff of Operation Truth says many Guard units come to these training camps sadly unprepared.
They've been underfunded and neglected for decades, so you're trying to fix decades of neglect in 6 months.
Lieutenant General Roger Schultz, the Army Guard's national director, acknowledges that the Guard's experience, training, and equipment across different states and commands is an uneven patchwork.
Well, the only way we can get to the highest levels of readiness is by moving soldiers and equipment across the units and across the states to get this done. Okay. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not pleased with it. And we're not satisfied that this is the way to do business.
We've still mobilized a whole lot of people since the end of the Cold War for Bosnia, Kosovo, Afghanistan, and now Iraq. And we still don't get it.
David McGinnis is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies and spent years in the military formulating policy for the National Guard and Reserve. McGinnis says what worries him most now is equipment for the Guard, not in Iraq, where some improvements have been made, but back here at home. That's because units have to leave their home base equipment in Iraq for incoming troops.
When the units come home now, they don't have the equipment they need to train and continue to prepare and react in another contingency somewhere.
And that's not just heavy stuff like trucks, but all the complex high-tech gear necessary for today's Army. So, the National Guard has asked Congress for an additional $20 billion to re-equip its armories. Whatever the Guard's shortcomings, though, nearly everyone agrees that it has experience that is extremely valuable in a conflict like the one in Iraq. It is experience that won't be found amongst 19- and 20-year-old recruits in the regular Army, who lack the maturity and practical skills of the National Guard.
The National Guard is an incredible resource.
Corporal Justin Newport recently returned to California from a year in Iraq.
We were building a school. I wanted to know if those guys were cutting corners, the Iraqi contractors cutting corners. I had two guys who were licensed masonry engineers. When we showed up there, we had guys who built houses for a living. We had a high school teacher who taught history. And when you're dealing with someone who works in a feudal environment, and tribalism is very feudal, you need somebody who knows that.
In a conflict where civic action with local people is necessary, Newport says, it's important to know more than how to hold your breath as you squeeze a trigger. John McChesney, NPR News.
You can see photos of the Guard training at Camp Shelby at our website, npr.org. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.